Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. I hope you're excited to be at church tonight on this stormy night. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's storming outside. But aren't you glad we don't have to be in tents anymore? Aren't you glad that we don't have to? I mean, I think a tent revival would be pretty cool. Praise the Lord. But it's nice that we can be in a nice dry place when it's, because, you know, we haven't had enough rain this year. Praise the Lord. In the spring, we glory to God, I ain't complaining about it because there's plenty of folks that go without. We'll just divert it in a different direction. Amen. But praise God for it. Praise God for you. Praise God for the church. So we thank God for all that he's provided. You know, what I just love is that, you know, in moments, in any given moment in life, it can look like we're not provided for. In any given moment in life, it can look like we don't have enough. But you know what? One thing that the Lord has showed me is that as I reflect on my life, as I look back, it doesn't matter how tough the past year was, I'm here today. Praise the Lord. And I'm still here. I still got clothes. I still got a vehicle to drive. I still got a house to live in. We still eat good. Amen. We don't go without. Praise the Lord. And so God is always providing for us. So we need to just get excited and rejoice for where we're at, knowing God wants to take us further. But we won't be impatient, will we? We're going to go with God. Hallelujah. You know, some wonderful things. You know, the Bible says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Amen. Well, I think about that in my own life, you know. Praise the Lord. I was nowhere near the spiritual giant that you see before you today when I started off. Glory, that's a joke. Praise God. But I wasn't there yet. I hadn't arrived yet. I still haven't. Glory to God. But, you know, I still consider myself in small beginnings. When I look at my own life, when I think of myself, I do look at myself in the light of small. Amen. But, you know, the Bible says don't despise those days. So I'm not despising those days. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to despise where I'm at today because I know God's already taken me further. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight's message is called Preaching and Teaching. And really, that's just what I called it. I mean, there's no fancy reason for the name. Preaching and Teaching. Amen. But we're going to be talking a little bit different about the difference between preaching and teaching. Amen. At least I'm going to start off that way and we'll see where we go with it. But we're going to be talking about, we'll just have you turn there, 2 Timothy 4:2 while we're waiting or while I'm talking. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's some differences we have to understand about preaching and teaching. You know, I'm more of a, tend to be more of a preacher. My wife is more of a teacher. Amen. How many know that both are good? Amen. You know, we can tend to like certain kinds of flows in ministry. Any one of us can kind of have, well, I like to listen to this type of preacher or minister, and I like to listen to this type. But we know that God has given us all the gifts for a reason. Amen. But specifically, we're talking about preaching and teaching the Word of God. Amen. And I'm not just talking about it from the standpoint of you listening to me or my wife preach or teach. Amen. But we're talking about how it comes about in a Christian's life. Or how it should come about in a Christian's life. How many know that that as a Christian, you should be able to teach? Praise the Lord. And as a Christian, you should be able to preach. Hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, what's the difference? I'm glad you asked. Amen. It's real simple. You know, teaching is a knowledge-based thing. Pretty much anybody with knowledge can teach. You don't. Now I'm not taking away from teachers at all. Some people are very gifted as teachers and can teach things in a wonderful way. Amen. I'm not generally a teacher, although there's an aspect, of course, to every ministry where teaching is important. But a teacher really, they just see things broken down. They just are able to break it down line upon line, precept upon precept, and they can just put it out there in a way that's real understandable. Amen. One way we've always looked at it, sometimes, you know, teaching, when you teach the word, things are taught. Amen. And a lot of times when you preach the word, things are caught. Hallelujah. And the reason that there is a difference, and I want you to know some of the differences, because it's important that we understand, you know, we're going to be talking about preaching to our circumstances and preaching to things that we deal with in life. How many know that? Let's just turn to 2 Timothy, because I don't want to get ahead of myself without preaching the scripture too. You know what I mean? Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to be talking about some differences here. Amen. Glory to God. God is good. He's with us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:2. Amen. Preach the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. I always love this. Whenever I see that, I can't see it without yelling it. Amen. You know what I mean? In my head, even. If I don't have to say it out loud. I've looked at this scripture many times over this week, and I'm just telling you, every time I saw that, I just yelled it. Not out loud necessarily, but it yelled at my head. Amen. Preach the word. Hallelujah. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Praise God. Notice it didn't say teach the word. It said preach the word. There's a difference. Amen. There's a reason it didn't say teach the word. There's a reason it said preach the word. So what's the difference between preaching and teaching? Well, teaching, you can really break things down. Teaching anybody, if you take a teacher's sermon, for example, just about anybody could read it and teach somebody else with it. Amen. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. So you could look at somebody's, like you could look at like my wife's notes, and you could they're broken down and you could understand it. You could write something. I'm not saying you would do it as good as she did or whatever. You know what I mean? But just you could understand it. You could teach it. Amen. Well, we all need to be taught as Christians. Actually, one of the primary things is that we need to be taught. Yeah. Amen. One of our, you know, Jesus said, or the Lord said that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? Well, that's important for us to understand. He didn't say we're destroyed for a lack of money or a lack of problem or answers. Praise the Lord. We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we know that teaching is good, but preaching is also good. Preaching comes in when when you've been taught. Praise the Lord. Preaching is what we do after we've been taught. Amen. So, you know, when you have a problem arise in your life, you don't need to teach your problem. You need to preach at your problem. You know, when you have opposition from the devil, you don't need to try to teach him. You know, the devil knows scripture. Amen. I said the devil knows scripture. You don't need to teach the devil scripture, but you do need to preach it at him. Amen. And there's a difference. There's a boldness that comes with it. Amen. Preaching, you can't preach unless you've been taught. Praise God. You can teach without preaching, but you can't preach without teaching, being taught. You know what I mean? You have to have it in you. I preach a lot by inspiration. You know, I have scriptures that I usually go to, but the filling in the middle, the cream filling in the middle of the sermon, amen, all the stuff, all the extra stuff that I read other or say other than scriptures is generally not read stuff. That comes out of that place of revelation, amen. But see, because I've been taught in the word, I can preach the word. Yeah. Glory to God. Now, of course, we rely on the anointing and stuff like that. You know, of course, we trust God with that. But this is why this is actually kind of an area where a lot of Christians can get into a problem, because you can have people with knowledge, head knowledge of the word. Yeah. I know people who have memorized whole books of the Bible. But see, it doesn't matter that you just memorize it. You got to get revelation of it. It's got to get in you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And when it's in you, then you can preach it. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. And that's exactly what the scripture is talking about. Now, in context, this scripture is being said to a pastor. Amen. And we know in context, he's talking to a pastor. But how many know that a pastor's job is to teach people by precept and example, amen? And so I would say this, and I've said it before, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, amen? If it's good for a pastor, then it's good for us too, amen? And of course, we see this through other connections in the word, but it says, preach the word, hallelujah. Be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? Just be ready. Have the word in you. Praise God, hallelujah. You know, there's a scripture, I don't think we're getting to it today. I'm just going to kind of glance ahead. No, there's a scripture in the King James Version. It says to study to show yourself approved. Yeah. Amen. Study, you know, it's not just memorize, because you can memorize something and not have it in you. But studying it, get into it. Of course, the Bible tells us to meditate on the word, you know, and how important all these things are. That's where preaching is going to come from. It's going to come from that store on the inside as you've been taught. Amen. And we need to understand that when we have problems, when we're facing opposition in life, what we need to learn is we need to learn how to preach at it. Amen. Praise God. It says, be ready in season and out of season. Doesn't matter, you know, what's coming at you. You should be ready to preach the word. Yeah. Doesn't matter who comes up to you. You should be ready to preach the word. Amen. A lot of Christians, they don't get so much into the studying aspect. You know, I've had Christians say to me before, I don't even know how to get someone saved. Well, listen, if you go to a church and you spend any time in church, you need to know how to get people saved. I remember being in this position myself. Like, I don't know exactly what to say to them or where to lead them. You better know. Amen. Because if you don't know, how are you going to help them? And that's what being ready in season and out of season. See, if you don't know the basics of Christianity, then when big trials come, you're not going to know how to deal with it. And oftentimes that's why people fail, is because they don't know what to do with what's before them. Amen. They turn to everything else but the word. But notice it says here, it says to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. You know, to exhort is to build up. It's to build someone up or build something up, you know. But it says with all long-suffering and teaching, amen. And so we can teach things, and it's good that we are able to teach things. But there's all these other aspects to it that are so important to us. Convince, rebuke. This is what preaching is. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. That means that you just keep after it. You're going to keep after it. You're going to keep after it. See, when we're facing trials in life, what we need to do is we need to speak to them in such a way, amen. Praise the Lord. I wrote this down because it came to me as I was reading this. Sometimes the number one person that needs convincing, rebuking, and exhorting is yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. As a pastor, sometimes the number one person I need to convince, rebuke, and exhort is me. Amen. Is anyone else in that boat with me? Praise the Lord. How do we do that? By preaching the word. Amen. You can know the word, but if you're not preaching the word, it's not doing you a lot of good. Amen. You know, so often we slip, and I know I keep kind of on this thing, but it keeps coming up to me as well. So often we slip into that realm of, you know, something comes up and we start complaining. Oh, we start complaining about it. Start talking about how bad it is or how mad we are or whatever. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're all in this boat. Listen, I was corrected this week. I was talking with somebody. I was in a mentoring appointment, and I was talking with somebody, and they asked me about complaining, something I had said in a sermon once. And as I was sitting there telling them about it, I started realizing and getting convicted, because just that day, I had been walking. Now, it was something that was legitimately snarfy, something that happened to me that I didn't come up with, something that happened to me. I didn't do anything to deserve it. But there was stuff. How many know sometimes there's stuff in life that'll come at you? Amen. And I got mad about it. And so I got on the phone. I was texting a pastor friend of mine. And I said, you know, here's this. This happened to me. And, you know, they knew what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. People never understand. All of a sudden, I start complaining about it. But you know why God doesn't like complaining so much? Because complaining means that our focus is on something other than Him. And really what complaining is saying, God ain't taking care of me. Yeah? Complaining is just saying, God ain't taking care of me. If you complain about your situation, you're saying, it's no different than if you said, Lord, you don't take care of me. Yeah? Can you imagine being there? I don't know. I mean, we're just always in this situation. It never works out for me. God, you ain't taking care of me. Can you understand why it would be? How would you feel? I mean, I can't imagine if my kids, you know, my kids, of course, they've seen ups and downs in our lives. And there was times where we had more, times where we had less, you know, different things like that. There was times where we were able to splurge, and there was times where we had to tighten up the belt, you know, and pull things in a little bit. But, you know, my kids have never really complained about, like, life. They never have acted like they've gone without. But I can tell you, as a father, it would be quite disheartening if my children came to me and said, you know, you're not providing for me. Yeah. Or they complained about things like I wasn't providing for them. But that's what people do with God all the time. They're complaining and they wonder why they're, you know. But my point is the Bible doesn't tell us to complain. The Bible tells us to preach the word. Yeah. The Bible instructs us, preach the word, preach at the situation. Yeah. I was getting revelation of this today as I was meditating in this stuff, and I think I was getting ready for church, and I said to the Lord, because I got revelation in my own life, and I said to God, I was like, Lord, help me to remember to speak more to you and not about stuff. Yeah. Not speak more to God and not about the things that I'm dealing with. You know, just speak to God. See, the whole thing is, and this is the whole point of what I'm saying, is that if we are focused on all this stuff, we're just not focused on God. And as we're not focused on God, it's like it ties his hands. And so he even though he wants to get things over to us, he can't do it. Amen? Yeah. Well, it's the truth. God loves us. Amen? Praise the Lord. He wants to help us. Praise God. I want to share with something. It was a little bit of revelation Praise the Lord. As I was meditating in the scripture this week, praise the Lord. Preaching, first, I want you to understand that preaching is, you know, when you see preach the word there like that, the indication is that there's boldness with it. You know, and you can't preach without boldness, amen? And you can't have boldness without knowledge. What boldness really is it's being convinced. Actually, if you look it up in the Greek, where the scriptures that talk about boldness, it's literally being convinced of something, yeah. Amen? And so that means that you're fully aware of what's yours and what belongs to you and all that stuff, and so you can be bold about it, amen? Yeah. And this is what came to me as I was doing this. I got a lot written here, so I just got to find it. Praise the Lord. Boldness is the key to preaching. True boldness is not yelling what you know. True boldness is knowing what you yell. True boldness is not yelling what you know. It's knowing what you yell, amen? And there's a difference, because you can yell things that you know. You can sit there and shout. But there's a difference between that and knowing what you're yelling, knowing why you're preaching at it. And see, preaching will stir something up on the inside of you. That's actually where faith gets stirred up, amen, is on the inside of you in your spirit. Faith, preaching will stir that up when you preach the word. You notice it doesn't say preach your ideas. It didn't say preach your, last, you know, I'm just going to say it boldly. It doesn't say anything but preach the word. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I mean, we get out there and we can start we can start saying a whole bunch of stuff. You know, people like that, you know, they like to talk about this and talk about that. It doesn't matter. Preach the word. Because when you preach the word, the truth is there. Yeah. Glory to God. And that's what changes things anyways. Amen. Right. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. I'll just pull it up here. Ephesians 5:19. Glory to God. And now, I wanted this in the King James, but that's okay. I should have said that. But in the New King James, it says it a little bit differently. It's not wrong, but I like it better in the King James. Amen. It says, in the King James, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But notice it says speaking to yourselves. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. This is the same as preaching the word. Yeah. You know, speaking to yourself. Now, in that word, you know, in the New King James, it says speaking to one another. That's correct. It's speaking to himself, speaking to herself, speaking to them. Just speaking it out. Amen. Is really what what's important. And so that's along the same lines of preaching the word. It's in saying the same thing. You know, we speak to ourselves. See, a lot of times we need to convince ourselves of what the word actually says. In fact, I'll just say this, though, we always need to convince ourselves of what the word says, because it's us that needs to hear it. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. This is something else that came to me in preparing this message I thought was interesting. Teaching the word is loading your weapon with ammunition, amen. So teaching, if you picture like a gun or something like that, teaching is like putting bullets in the chamber, or putting a magazine in, or a clip, or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Preaching the word is firing your weapon at the enemy. Amen. And so here again is another difference, another thing that we see about it. And this is very important for us to understand, very important for us to stay in. If when we're dealing with a problem, so often we just go right to, even, I mean, sometimes, I mean, we pray all the time. We should pray all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. But, you know, pray doesn't just mean to go to God and ask him for stuff. You know, God has told us to take care of an awful lot of stuff on our own. In fact, there's a lot of things and what I mean by that is I'm not saying that we go trust in ourselves, but because God has made us like this or that, so we can go out and do this or that. Amen. There's an awful lot of instruction. Actually, we're going to see some here in a little bit, but there's an awful lot of instruction on specifically what we are to do. Amen. And so if we do nothing, a weapon does nothing for you if it just lays there idle. You can have a loaded gun. I could put a loaded gun right here on the stairs. Amen. But unless somebody picks it up and uses it, there's going to be nothing that comes out of it. Amen. I mean, you can say the same thing with tools or whatever, you know, you don't have to just use the example of gun, but the point is that we are talking in this from the standpoint of fighting the enemy. And we have to understand that that's what our faith is for, amen? That's what the word is for. It's to give us that power to fight the enemy, amen? Well, praise God. Teaching the word is loading your weapon. Preaching the word is firing that at the enemy. And so we need to preach the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. You're in 2 Timothy. Go to 1:6 instead of 2. Amen. Or 4. Praise God. Yes, 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 yes. Love this scripture. There's so much in... you know, I was told this once and I loved it. I love the understanding of it, but you know, the book of Timothy was written to a pastor who was being tempted to quit because there's opposition that comes at us, right? Praise the Lord, there is. There's opposition, but God has given us a way, and Paul deals with that here, tells us how to deal with it. Amen? Praise God. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Stir it up. You got to stir it up. The word stir up, it means to re-enkindle. I didn't even know what enkindle means. I mean, I kind of had an idea, but I had never heard that word enkindle, E-N-kindle, praise the Lord. But this is re-enkindle, which means set on fire to kindle up, inflame one's mind. Praise the Lord. Set on fire. Glory to God. We need to set some things on fire, amen. We need to stir. See, the thing is, if you're waiting to be stirred up, that's where a lot of people make a mistake, is because they come expecting, well, I'm going to need somebody else to stir me up. I'm going to call so-and-so because they stir me up. No, the Bible says to stir yourself up. There's been gifts put in us. I said there's gifts been put in us. We all have something to offer. We have something to bring to the table. And furthermore, we have enough to take care of the things in our life, if nothing else. God has given us enough to take care of all the things that would come against us, all the things that would try to rob from us. God has already put it on the inside of us. Paul told Timothy, stir it up. Stir it up. When you don't feel like it, stir it up. I don't feel good, stir it up. I don't know what we're going to do. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Praise the Lord. Stir up what's on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. Inflame one's mind. I love it because it gives you the idea of setting things on fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's burn that junk up. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we see, God has given us these instructions. We see these things. But here's the other thing that we have to understand is we have to be prepared. We have to prepare ourselves to be able to do that. Be ready in season and out of season, the word tells us, right? Yeah. Right? Be ready in season and out of season. If you're not ready, you're going to have a hard time when it's time to stir it up. You're going to have a hard time when it's time to preach the word. If you're not spending time in the word, if you're not doing the things that God has told you to do, if you're not following the instruction, if you're not listening to the things that your pastor's been preaching, glory to God, you're going to come into some trouble. Amen? Praise the Lord. How you prepare determines how you end up. And it does every time. I've gotten in a lot of trouble and I was like, ooh, I wish I would have prepared for that better. Yeah, have you ever been there? I wish I would have been better prepared for that. You know, sometimes winter, sometimes we're used to it, but sometimes it can catch you unprepared, right? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. If you've ever been a garage that puts tires on cars, I'm sure you know all about that, because that's exactly what happens. You always see it in the wintertime. Oh, the first snow comes and everybody's trying to get snow tires on their car, right? Why? Because they weren't prepared. Some people got to wait. Well, it's going to be a week, 2 weeks, whatever, before you get them. But it's snowing now. I know, but everybody else did the same thing. Amen. But we don't want to be like that. God has given us enough to take things, to be prepared for things. Amen. To prepared for life. Glory to God. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. Praise the Lord. And we're gonna talk about being prepared. Amen. Ephesians 6:10. Praise God. Hallelujah. Read down through verse 18. Glory to God. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, we try to do so much on our own accord, on our own ability. We try to push through this life. We try to work it, try to make it happen. In fact, I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you're disappointed in yourself, you've probably been trying to make too much happen.
Yeah.
The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Glory to God. I am not saying that we don't do things that we got to do. I'm not saying that there's not things that we have to do. You know, I always think about this, of people that really love working out. I'm not one of those people. But, you know, people that really love working out, a lot of times you can see, you know, as people get into that stuff sometimes you can see a lot of pride kind of seep in there. Look at what I'm doing and me and building and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not against any of that stuff. I'm not saying that, you know, working out is a bad thing. Of course, working out is a good thing. I'm not saying extreme working out. I mean, if that's your jam, praise the Lord, you like it, that's fine. But you can see that a lot of times that people get strong and of themselves. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to wait, praise God. I'm not going to go that scripture now. But yeah, there's a scripture in Jeremiah that talks about being careful of that. Not working out, but just, you know, whatever you're good in, you know, whatever you're good at, patting yourself on the back and looking to your own ability or your own strength. We need to concentrate on His. And I love this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It tells us this because it tells us, again, our focus needs to be on God. It needs to be in what He can do and not what we can do. Now, that does not mean we sit around and say, oh, God's just going to do everything, because that's getting lazy, amen? But we got to do our part, praise the Lord. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor. Don't lack anything. Put it all on, amen? But notice it says to put it on. You know, one thing I can't help but notice in this section of Scripture is this is one command right after another. It tells you to do this, to do that, do this, to do that. Be strong. You be strong in the Lord. Yeah. How do you be strong in the Lord? Well, you study to show yourself approved. Yeah. Amen. You stay in the Word. You listen to the Word. You go to church. You study it for yourselves. Amen. All these things. Praise the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand or be able to stand the wiles of the devil. Indicating that if you don't put on the armor of God, if you don't do it, if you don't put it on, he didn't say, come up here to the podium and I'm going to put on the armor of God for you. He says, you put on the armor of God, the whole armor. Don't lack anything. You say, well, I don't know what the whole armor is. Oh, that's all right. We're going to tell you. Amen. It's going to come out. Praise the Lord. But it doesn't say that He's going to do it. And this is what Christians are doing. They're not preparing. They're not putting on the armor of God. And then when the trial comes, they don't know how to answer it. They don't know how to deal with it. And then when the devil rocks their socks off, they don't know what to do with themselves. They sit there and pray God. And they say, God, why? Or God, help me. And they say, well, God's not helping me. He helped you by writing Ephesians and then making it legible so you could read it. Hallelujah. He gave us the book of Ephesians and let us know exactly what we're supposed to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because it goes on to tell us, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Amen. We ain't wrestling against flesh and blood. You know what? You can always tell a Christian that doesn't know who they are in Christ or don't know what they, you can tell a Christian that's not very well studied. By how they talk about, how they get mad at everybody else. Yeah. How they get mad about what's going on around them. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Yeah. You know what I mean? When they just won't forgive somebody because, well, that person wronged me. They didn't do it. You didn't wrestle. That didn't come against you because of that person. Amen? People will do things against you. People will hate you. And a lot of times it's because they yield to something. I mean, it's mostly because they yield to something. Amen. But generally, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against, praise the Lord, principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we see it's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. Amen. This is why when people try to, when they try to fight the things that are happening against them with the flesh, this is why they fail. This is why it doesn't work out. You thought that getting into that financial pinch was just a natural thing, but there's probably a spiritual reason behind it. Now, I'm not saying because maybe it has nothing to do with you spiritually, but the fact is it's a spiritual attack. How about if you just start tithing or just start giving? Amen. We decide to start giving to people, and then all of a sudden, guess what? Finances get attacked. There's an attack in this. There's an attack in that. Just wherever. You know, don't be surprised when you do something for God and there's an attack. You're not doing something wrong. Praise the Lord. You're probably doing something right. Amen. Glory to God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, tells us again, you take it up, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So if you don't take it up, you're not going to be able to withstand. If you don't take it up, you won't be able to withstand. God isn't going to change the rules of the game halfway through because you didn't prepare. God isn't changing things because all of a sudden, well, I just didn't listen to the word. I didn't even know that was in there. It's because you didn't read the word. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're being taught the word here. We're being shown how to do this. How do we stand? By preparing. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Actually, this is the second time we're told to do the same thing in just a few verses. Amen. So having done all to stand, praise the Lord, stand therefore, having girt. Now this is the interesting thing. Verse 14, I did this in my Bible. Verse 14 and 15 are very similar. And verse 16 and 17 are very similar. And what I did was I kind of put a little thing there. And verse 14 and 15, those are your preparation. Mm-hmm. Amen? Glory to God. This is all preparation stuff. Verses 14 and 15, glory to God. It starts, it says, stand therefore, having, I underlined those words, having, in my Bible, because that points out something to me, amen. What does having mean? Having means you already have. It means you did it already. Glory to God. This is when you're facing the trial, stand therefore, right? If we go back, he says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all, you already have done all to stand. Now you stand, glory to God. How do you stand? By having what you have done, amen? Having girded your waist with truth. What's truth? It's the word of God. You know the word. You have the word in you. Praise the Lord. You've already done that. Amen. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? It's right living. Amen. Being righteous before God. It's the righteousness of Christ. Putting these things on. How do we do that? By doing the word. By listening to the word. Amen. Glory to God. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, this scripture, of course, we see it again, having. You've already done this stuff. See, if the trial comes and you haven't done this stuff, you're in trouble. Yeah. I said, if you haven't done this stuff and the trial comes, you're going to be in trouble. Now, if you're a baby Christian, if you're new to this whole thing, it's not hard because God will do things to help you along before you know, amen? Before you but those who know or expect or should know are expected to, amen? Now, this scripture right here, having shod your feet with the gospel, preparation of the gospel of peace, it makes me think of this other scripture. And so I want to pull this up. Romans 10:15 says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Who preach? Pastors, ministers? Glory to God. How do you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? By being in church. By listening to the word. When you miss what's being preached, you're not being prepared. This is why, again, so many Christians fail. Well, we got busy, got the sporting events. I'm just telling you right now, people who fall into that garbage, and we warn them about that all the time. They still end up having trial. We've seen it time after time. They still end up having trouble. What was the whole thing? They didn't listen. Because they were somewhere else when the gospel of peace was being prepared to shod their feet. Yeah. Let's go back there. It says, yeah, praise the Lord. Verse 15, it's the other things they, and this is, I think this is pretty interesting. Because in verse 14, they put several things together that you have done or that you should have done. Amen. But verse 15, it's based on one thing. It's highlighting it. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having done it already. Glory to God. How do you do that? You go to the place that prepares you. Oh, glory to God. I mean, I'm getting stuff out of this as we're going. You know, back there in Ephesians, what is it? Ephesians, probably don't even have to flip a page. 4, yeah. Yep. Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Yeah. If you are equipped, it means you have done something. Right. Yeah. Amen? You have been prepared. Yeah. But if you have not been equipped because you have not been at church, then you have not been prepared to deal with what the devil has been planning for you. Yeah. Glory to God. It's just the truth. This is where so many people get mad at me. But I've literally had people mad at me and scowl at me and leave my church because I preach that you need to be in church, and the whole time I'm doing it for them, and they're too dumb to realize it. They just don't get they just get deceived. They're so deceived by everything that they've done. I'm not mad at them. I love them. That's why I preach the word, even when they're snarky towards me. I'm not mad at them for doing that. I'm mad at the devil. I get ticked because people don't listen. But the truth of the matter is, I still love those people. I want them helped. But they won't be helped because they won't prepare themselves doing what God has told them to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am so glad that we learned this early on. Why does our life look good? Because we have been in church. Because we continue to go to church. Because we know that church is where we find people have all kinds of, you know, we're really tired and this. There's no such thing. This is the place you're supposed to get prepared. Praise the Lord. What are you going to do? Are you going to tell the devil you're tired when he comes knocking on your door? Well, I'm so devil, just, you can't come in here today because I'm tired. That's exactly when he's coming knocking. See, if we haven't been listening, but people do this all the time. And people, and the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. And even more so as you see the day approaching. Yeah. Why? Because the devil's activity has been turned up on the earth. And Christians are still doing things like going to golfing or going to the barbecue or going to the football game or going to the baseball game or the track meet or whatever it is. Listen, it isn't good. That stuff isn't going to help your kids. Praise the Lord. That stuff isn't going to help your kids. When you're going through hell on earth, that stuff isn't going to help your kids when Satan attacks. And he's going to attack. In fact, Satan loves Christians that sit there and it really is stupid. In their stupidity, in their ignorance, their blatant ignorance, when they sit there and they won't do the things that they're taught to do, and then their life falls apart, Satan's laughing at them and making a mockery of the gospel. Yeah, it's just the truth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I don't know why I'm yelling all you. You're all here. But see, you can get stirred about this stuff. Yeah. See, this is a gift that's being put in you that you can choose not to lose. Yeah. You say, listen, no, I know the truth now. You ain't getting me out of that, but there is nothing that will take me away from the house of God. Amen. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad you're excited. We're not done reading, though, are we? Amen. So all these things you have done, right? Preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all. Everybody say above all.
Above all.
That means the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Yeah. Hold your place there. Go with me to Romans. Keep your place there. Above all, right? Let me read that to you again. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Preach the word. Preach The Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do you build faith in yourself? Of course, you hear it in church. Praise the Lord. We've been over that. But when you preach the Word, when you preach the Word, guess who's hearing it? You are. You hear. When you say it, when you start preaching the Word. See, if you had been in our Tuesday night service in Mayville at the end of service, you know, I was praying, started praying at the end of service. And then all of a sudden, I was just, it was stirred up on the inside of me to start exhorting. And I just started exhorting about the truth. And I started, you know, and the Word was in there. I preached the Word. That's exactly what I was doing. I was preaching at this end. And that's what we need to do. We need to stir ourselves up and preach the Word. Praise the Lord. Because as we do, it builds that faith in us. And then the devil can't take us out. It quenches all. The shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Glory to God. And so what is a sword for? It's your weapon. Amen? In modern day times, we would say your gun, your missile. Praise the Lord. You know what? Praise God. Hallelujah. I just had a funny thought about something, but I ain't going to share it with you. Well, if you ask me afterwards, I might, but I'm just not going to share it because this is, you know, online and stuff. Somebody will get offended, but it was funny nonetheless. But praise the Lord. I'll just give you a little taste of it. It has to do with people thinking that I had missiles in the back of my truck. Praise the Lord. Or torpedoes in the back of my, yeah, it was funny, but glory to God. Hallelujah. So see, if you don't come to church, you can't find out the good stuff. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is, he is intended for us to win every time. He's given us the most perfect. You know, notice all the weaponry that we have, all the shielding, all the stuff, all the armor, all the protection. It's all in the Word. It all has to do with Him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory. I guess we're going to read 18 too. Yes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. See, one of the biggest, my wife and I have talked about this so much, but one of the biggest problems today is so much distraction. And we have to deal with it ourselves, but distraction. If you're distracted from the plan and the purposes of God, you know, there was something else that my wife and I, there's just a natural desire, something we want to move on, something that we know would make us a lot of money. Personally, amen. It's not something to do with the church. It's not something wrong, but it's just something that we know would make us a lot of money. And just today we were talking about, we're like, you know what? We just can't do it. We just can't, because it would distract us. It will pull us away from the things of God. So what do? We forego those things, amen, so we can continue to do what God wants us to do. We'll give up money. We'll give up time. We'll give up vacations or whatever, cars, houses, whatever it is. We'll give up those things to follow the plan of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Bible promises, of course, God promises us that we never give up anything, that He won't give back to us. But that's not why we do it either. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How shall they preach? Yeah, I just can't get away from that. You know, how important it is to be in the house of the Lord. How important it is for God that we congregate together, that we come together in one place and one accord, because He wants to move on us. Yeah. That's what's keeping things back. People, like, you know, and people are so casual about it. They're so casual. Like, listen, we shouldn't even be casual about coming into the house of the Lord. When we do come into the house of the Lord, how do we come in there? Do we prepare ourselves to come in? Yeah. Or do we just show up because it's what we're supposed to do? I mean, do we come in prepared? Do we come in, you know, with our hearts towards God, saying, you know what, Lord, I'm believing You for something good today. I'm believing for my neighbor. I'm bringing a supply. What do we bring? Do we think about that? Amen. You know, when we give offerings, I'm just going to tell you the truth. Well, I believe we have a church right here full of good givers. But how do we give? When we bring our offering, listen, don't just put money into a bucket, let it pass, and think you did your churchly duty or your godly duty. When you come, bring your offering with purpose. Bring it knowing, Lord, I'm sowing this into the house of God or for this program or that program or whatever it is. And God, I'm doing it because my heart is towards You. Come prepared to give it, you know, to give it joyfully, to give it with your heart, and not just, listen, any fool can write out a check, pop it in an envelope and throw it in the bucket. Anybody can do that. That doesn't separate us from anybody. What separates us, though, is when we do it with love, when we do it with a heart, when we say, Lord, this is me giving to you. I don't care. I don't care if it's one penny. I don't care if it's $100 million. It's just no different. In fact, a person bringing one penny with heart means more to God. And I'm telling you right now, it means more to the church than somebody bringing $100 million with no heart. Now, if you want to write a check for $100 million, we'll accept it. But you know what I'm saying? Like the truth of the matter is that it doesn't move God. And it shouldn't move us. Amen? Well, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4, verse 16. So we're talking about preaching the word. We're talking about preaching to our circumstances. But, you know, all of these things, you know, we just talked about all this preparation, all the prep work. That's preparing us to be able to take care of the things that come at us. Yeah. Amen. We're not going to, I love that, when we were in there in Ephesians, of course, it talks so much about the word. I love that the word is called the word. Yeah. Because a word is meant to be spoken. Yeah. Amen. Amen. A word is meant to be spoken. We call it the word of God. What is it? It was spoken by God, but it should be spoken by us. Why? Because the Bible tells us to. The Bible tells us to preach the word. It tells us to speak about God, to speak about the things of God. Speak the things that he spoke. Amen. You know, he didn't just say fill in the blanks, did he? He didn't say just speak whatever you want to speak. He said, come up with your own stuff, read my Bible, see how I am, and then speak whatever you want. No, he says, preach the word. Yeah. Preach it at your situation, amen? Hebrews 4:14. Glory to God. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, amen, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I think it's the Amplified version. It says appropriate and well-timed help just when we need it. Hallelujah. Go back up there to verse 14, though. Let us hold fast our confession. Since we have a high priest, let us hold fast our confession. Preach the word. What's your confession? It's how God brought you through. Amen. It's actually, your confession is more than just how God brought you through, but how God brings us through. It's preaching the word. It's speaking. Our confession should be the same confession as his. Not something that we just make up. Listen, your confession is great. And that's a wonderful thing. What God has done in your life, that's a great thing. But listen, what God wants to do in your life is way more than what's been done in your life. How do we know? The Bible says we go from glory to glory. So what God is yet to do is bigger than what God has already done. Amen? In you. Amen? And it's not because God is slow at it. No, God's building you up so you can hold it. Amen. He's building your structure up. You don't just go build a house on the dirt. My brother built a big house in a field. Amen. But what do? You go down there and you excavate first. And once you excavate, then you come in, you put concrete and all this and reinforcing all this stuff. You know, all this stuff. There's all this prep work to do before they build a house. Why? Because if you could go build a $10 million house, but you ain't got the right foundation. Amen. And so God's doing the same thing with us. He's building us into great and wonderful. He wants to use us in great and wonderful things. And he's got big plans for us. But he has to have the foundation secure. Amen. Before we get into it. So it says, hold fast your confession. Our confession is something that comes out of our mouth. Amen. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Coming boldly is knowing something. You have to know that. You have to know what God has done in you. You have to know what he's promised you. And you can't know that without the word. How are you going to preach the word if you don't know what the word is? Amen. And you certainly aren't going to preach it boldly. Amen. Preach the word. It didn't say say the word. It didn't say, whisper the word. You know what I mean? Write down the word on a love note and fold it up and then pass it to your neighbor. Didn't say it. It said preach the word. Doing all those things is great, but it's not going to change your situation. The reason people's situations don't change is because often they are not preaching the word. They are just, they get into that. See, that's the thing. That's where the rubber meets the road. The trial comes. It was promised to us. Not because God wants us to have it, but because it's coming. We can't stop it. Why? Because we have an enemy that's in this world who is constantly trying to do it. You don't need, listen, if it's never going to come, you don't need armor. If there's never trial going to come to your life, if God's just going to bail you out of everything and just bypass everything, you will never need armor. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You don't need armor when you're not getting fired at. But the Bible tells us to protect ourselves with armor because we are going to be fired at. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So, you're in Hebrews. What are you? Hebrews 4, right? Go to Hebrews 13. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. Verse 6 is what I want to get to. So we may boldly say... So we may confidently say, so we may preach the word. We need to preach the word. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The answer is nothing. He can't do anything to you. They can't. The man can't do it. He can't get you down. The man can't get you down unless you let him. Amen. But we have to boldly. Listen, you are not going to say it if you don't believe it. And you're not going to believe it if you ain't been in it.
Right.
You ain't going to believe it if you ain't heard it.
Right.
Faith, Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing.
Yeah.
Speaking boldly is the outward expression of what you believe.
Right.
Amen? Right. So many people are bold about so many things.
Right.
There's so many people out there, they're bold about this, they're bold about that. And it has nothing to do with God.
Right.
I've met people like this. I have met some of the people that will tear things down the worst. Are people who are bold in the world. My wife and I will often say, that person would make a great Christian if they just get saved. But right now, all they do is they tear things apart because they're so bold. They'll speak about this and speak about that, and they got opinion on everything. You know, I actually used to be a lot like that. I used to have an opinion on everything, and in recent times, the Lord has really put a silencer on my mouth, especially when I'm dealing with other people. Especially when I'm dealing with other people. And sometimes I get mad, and I'll say to my wife, we'll be at a family function. My wife will say, so-and-so said something stupid, and I'll be like, oh, I wish they would have said it in front of me. But the truth is that when they do say it in front of me, the Lord shuts my mouth. Why? Because I could argue with the best of them, but that isn't going to get, that's not the love of Christ. That isn't going to do anything. Or just me arguing isn't going to do anything, but me loving you will. You know what I mean? Me walking in love will, and that's the truth of it. Just because, now, there are times when we need to say things. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes we do need to stand up, especially if it's something, you know, I'll just tell you this. Somebody talks about my wife, I'm going to stand up and say something about it. Somebody talks about my family, I'm going to stand up and say something about it. Someone talks about my church, I'm going to stand up and say something about it. Somebody starts talking garbage about my pastor, I'm going to say something about it. This is the way it is. Why? Because these things have been put in my life to be a blessing to me. Somebody, you know what I mean? And people come up with all kinds of crazy stuff they want to talk about. But there's, you know, so there's times where we stand, you understand. But that's not just being bold about everything, not just being bold about our opinions or whatever, amen? Praise God, that we may boldly say, amen. Boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What does that mean? When you're saying the Lord is my helper, you're speaking out the truth that God is, in your mind, that God is going to come through for you. You absolutely know it. There's no shadow of a doubt in your mind that you're going to go through the other side because God is my helper. Praise the Lord. I don't care what it looks like. God is my helper. Amen. Praise the Lord. Colossians 2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something tonight. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. I love these scriptures here. Actually, I'll just tell you the truth. As I got into these scriptures, I was just like, I really need to study. I need to spend some time meditating in this book. Praise the Lord. So much good stuff in here. Yeah. Amen. I meant specifically Colossians. I mean, so much great stuff in the Bible, obviously. But as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him.
Yeah.
Amen. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Rooted and built up in him, not yourself. Rooted up and built up in him, not your job. Rooted and built up in him, not your spouse, not the situation, whatever. Built up, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Established as somebody, it's like you're set in concrete, you ain't moving.
Yeah.
Amen? You know, there's a lot of things I want to do. There's a lot of things I want to do on my property. There's a lot of ideas that I have for building different things. And you know what all of them start with? A firm footing.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. In fact, some of the reason I don't do some of the things that I've wanted to do is because I've got all the stuff to do what I want to do, praise the Lord, but I don't have the firm footing.
Yeah.
And the firm footing, that's where the work is, man.
Yeah.
That's where you got to dig down. You got to make a hole in the ground. You got to pour concrete. All these things which are not light and easy, amen. These are all the things you do for preparation, amen. We want to be established just like that.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in it. God has intended that we abound, that we're not just people that just barely get by or barely get through. No, that we abound in the faith. Amen. We're supposed to abound in the faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to close here. Let's go to Numbers 14. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Numbers 14, verse 28. This is what God says. This is important. Say to them, God told him, say to them, amen. Praise the Lord. Speaking to Moses, say to them, as I live, God is saying that, as he lives. In other words, I'm speaking on myself.
Yeah.
Put my hand on my own Bible. Praise the Lord. As I live, I swear, I'm just telling you the truth, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Praise the Lord. God will be okay, not okay, but he will let us have whatever we're okay with. If we're okay with just getting along or not barely getting, that's why there's so many people that never flourish in the things of God. Even though he's promised it in the Bible, but they haven't connected to it. They've never said, they just sat there and said, well, God must want me poor, or God must want me hurting, or God must want me without. And they say all these things, and what God says, he said, I'll let you have it.
Yeah.
That's what you want, have it.
Yeah.
People speak it over and over. He said, you don't want to speak my word? You don't want to preach my word? You know this is the issue. And the reason that you know that this is the issue is because you all know what you speak.
Yeah.
We all do. Amen, don't we?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not just saying you. I'm saying all of us. We know what we speak. We know the things that we've been saying. We know that we, you know, when we're going through that trial that we haven't been preaching the word at it. We know that we haven't been speaking. And God's just saying, you can have what you'll have what you say. Amen.
Yeah.
Just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Amen. God wants us to flourish. He wants us to be built up in him. He expects us to, actually, if you want to look at it that way. It's not just something that he's done for us. He expects that we will. He expects that we'll take it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, when you do something for somebody, you expect that they partake of it. If you make something, if you make food for somebody, you expect that they eat it. You'd be surprised if they don't. No, I just threw it away. How would you feel about that? Oh, I spent a year making this cabinet for you, or this, you know, whatever, building this thing for you. Yeah, I just threw it away. It wasn't worth anything to me. I just threw it away. That's exactly what people do with God's stuff. Preach the word. You want to get out of your situation? You want to move the mountains? You're going to have to start preaching. You're going to have to start preaching something that's a little bit bigger than you are. You're going to have to start preaching something that's bigger than what your situation is. Preach the word. It's bigger than all things. Amen. It's bigger than all the mountains that you'll face. It's bigger than all the things that will come against you. Praise God. God has intended that we would quench every fiery dart from the enemy. But it's up to us to do it. Amen. If you want things to change, preach the word.